The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The word of the Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems as if Christianity is in some trouble here in the United States. Churches are getting smaller, less people are attending churches. Churches, when they do get media attention, usually that attention is negative in nature. There are many people throughout the United States that really do not understand Christianity. The only thing they know is maybe what they have seen in news stories or through social media. And like I said, a lot of that is negative. Small churches are closing their doors. I know in the largest Lutheran denominations here in the United States, if there is a vacancy between pastors, that vacancy is now stretching out from 3 to 5 years before they get a new pastor. Young people just simply aren't becoming pastors. It is an issue across the United States, it's an issue across denominations, that Christianity just doesn't seem to have the sway and the hold that it did in years past. In other parts of the world, it's growing very rapidly, particularly in Africa, several countries in Africa. The churches there are really booming. In Tanzania, they are growing very quickly. In Ethiopia, has now become the largest Lutheran denomination in the world with over 10 million members in that church. And over the past 5 years, each month, they have been adding 40,000 new members to their church. It is alive and well. It is growing very quickly. So what's wrong with the United States that Christianity is just not booming as it is in other places across the world? I think there's several reasons. One is, again, is that negative publicity. But at the same time, I think churches themselves are responsible for what's going on. That we seem to be dying, seem to be losing members, that people just not showing up or coming or participating or are taking active leadership. And because of that's happening, churches are trying different things, trying to fix it. They may try a different worship style, maybe a more contemporary worship style, or maybe some other styles as well then too, and trying to put on the best entertainment, trying to put on the best show. But that is simply a gimmick to try to do those kind of things. Or churches then, too, are moving away from the main focus of what a church is about and starting to hit all those other issues, such as maybe social justice or feeding the poor or doing things. And those are definitely necessary to do. But that's not the central focus of the church. I think the problem with the Christian church here in the United States is that we have lost what is central to us. What is the most important function of a church? It is simply to proclaim Jesus Christ crucified and risen for our salvation. That is what is central in the church. And when you start moving away from that, start putting your energy into all the other things and forget about that message, you start to collapse. This morning, we can look at that first lesson of what was going on in that first lesson and get some ideas of why that early Christian church was growing so rapidly. The story takes place soon after Pentecost. I'm not sure exactly what the time period was, but there were a few things that had happened. After Pentecost, the church started to grow. It started to grow. Day after day, it says in two places in Scripture, before we get to Acts 8, it says that day by day, the numbers were increased. And also it says in several places before you get to chapter 8, where our lesson is for today, is that people came together and they held everything in common. They were willing to share everything they had with what was going on. And that church just started to bloom. It started to blossom. There was already persecution started by this time. Several of the Christians were being hammered or nailed by the other religious leaders. Also, too, Stephen had been stoned in chapter 7, at the end of chapter 7, right before we get here to chapter 8. And so the things in the church are starting to take place. It is starting to make a difference. It's starting to be noticed. It's starting to spread. It's starting to grow. The disciples are spreading out. Other Christians are starting to take leadership roles. And what's going on here? In this first lesson for today, one of the very important things is how this lesson starts out. An angel of the Lord called to Philip and said, "Go, I want you to leave Jerusalem by the wilderness road. I've got a mission for you." And the amazing thing is, Philip went. Philip just left everything that he was doing. He left where he was. And he went as that calling of the angel of the Lord told him to do. He didn't know exactly where he was going. He knew which road he had to travel. But he didn't know where that road would take him, what he would see along that road. He simply had trust. He had trust. His faith was what governed his life. And it governed his life to the extent that he was just simply willing to go on the word of the Lord. You know, it's a scary thing sometimes to trust the Lord of what God is calling us to do, of where to go and what to do. We want to have answers. We want to try to figure out what all this is going to involve if I get involved with what I'm being called to ask to do, whether it's teach Sunday school or be on the council or head up a committee or just simply be on a committee. What commit? We want those answers to those questions. What am I supposed to do? How long is this going to take? How much time will it take? What's it involve? Do I have the skills to do it? We want answers to those things. Philip didn't ask any questions. He just simply went. He trusted God. That faith in Jesus Christ was central. It was central in his life. And I think that's why the Christian church, early Christian church, was able to grow as fast as it was, is people just simply had trust in God. God is going to lead them in the right way. Yes, there was persecution. But even in the midst of that persecution, when Stephen was stoned to death, he was still praising God. The Christian church was willing to put its trust in Jesus Christ and keep that message central. So Philip goes down that road, down that wilderness road, and he comes alongside of a chariot. What it calls a chariot here, it's probably more of a carriage type thing, probably an elaborate carriage, because inside is a state official from Ethiopia, and a very high state official. He was the head or the what we would call the secretary of the treasury, a very important position. Within Ethiopia, he had come up to Jerusalem to worship or maybe to find some answers himself. My suspicion, he probably was a Jew, and it was the goal of every Jew or the dream of every Jew to make it to Jerusalem at least once for one Passover in your lifetime, to make it at least once, if not more often. And so that's possibly why that Ethiopian eunuch was in Jerusalem, was for that festival, for that Passover festival. Again, I don't know what the time period was from the time of the crucifixion, whether this is a year after, or maybe this is just a few weeks after. Maybe he was there at the time of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Don't know exactly that time period. It's possible that he could have met with Pilate, even, because he is a state official. Pilate might have received him just not as a formal state visit, but just simply because he's a dignitary. Certainly, maybe he had heard the news of Jesus, but he didn't understand it or what was going on. But he came to worship, maybe to find some more answers in his own faith, because he was still searching. He was still searching for answers. When Philip found him, he was reading through the scriptures. There's a lot of people in this world today who are still searching. They're looking. God has created us in his image. And because God created us in his image, I think every one of us here on this earth is aware that there is a God. It's just that some people deny that there is a God. There's other people who ignore that there is a God. And there are other people who go searching after false gods. And then there are those who do know the real God. So many times people go trying, and when they don't find the real God, there always seems to be an empty spot. A spot that they need to fill. A spot that people are searching to fill. And they fill it with all sorts of things, whether it's a false god, or they try to fill it with power, or they try to fill it with money, or they try to fill it with relations here on this earth. But nothing can fulfill that urge to know God. There are many people, and we come across them daily, maybe friends, maybe family members, maybe co-workers. They have questions, and they feel empty. Their life seems to be out of order, and they want to know, what is life all about? Why are we here? Who is God? They have questions. This Ethiopian eunuch had questions. He was searching through scriptures, and he was reading Isaiah 53. Philip heard him reading Isaiah 53. It's that chapter that talks about Jesus suffering and dying, and it was written hundreds of years before Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. And so the eunuch invites Philip up into his chariot and asks him questions about, what is this? Is this prophet writing about himself, or is he writing about somebody else? And from that point of looking back hundreds of years before Jesus Christ, Philip starts to talk about Jesus Christ. Again, that central focus of what the church is all about and what that message is all about. It's talking, it's spreading that news of Jesus Christ, that gospel that Jesus has crucified and that he is risen from the dead for our salvation. That is central in our message. And Philip talks to him and continues to talk to him and tells him the story of everything that had taken place. And at some point they come across some water, and the eunuch says, "There's water. Why can't I be baptized right now?" And Philip says, "Let's go. Let's go do it." The eunuch is baptized, and when they come out of the water, the eunuch is filled with joy and continues on his way. Philip, too, is taken, and he begins ministry in a new place. It's amazing the way that the Spirit does work. But at the same time, we need to stay focused. We need to stay focused what our mission is. And that mission is to Stay focused on the center, which is Jesus Christ, died for our sins, bringing us forgiveness, rising from the dead, promising us eternal life. And we can do that two different ways. There's two things that play together in the best way of how to bring that message about. One is, just like this story, Philip had faith. He had trust in God. And that's the first thing for us, is to have that trust in God. Every decision that we make, everything that we do in this life, if we remember Jesus Christ, if we remember Him crucified and risen, that plays a role in every decision, everything that we do in this life, of what we eat, where we go, what do we watch on TV, what do we look at on the computer. When we remember what is central in our lives, to trust God and to listen for that call of where the Spirit is calling us to go. The other thing is to actually talk about it, to actually talk and tell people the story of Jesus Christ. And not only the biblical stories, but also to let them know what it is that you have within your life. I think that's one of the reasons why that early Christian church grew so fast and why those churches in Africa are growing so fast. One, they have Jesus Christ central in their life, but it also guides their whole lives. And other people see that. People see what they have. People see that the joy that they have in their life, and other people say, I want that. I want to be a part of that. We can do good works. Anybody can do good works. And it's a good thing to do good works. But if you don't tell the story, they're not good works to proclaim the kingdom of God. And when we proclaim the kingdom of God, we also do good works. We do the things that God calls us to do, to follow the Ten Commandments, to help one another out, to heal the sick, to visit the imprisoned or the lonely. Those are an outflow of keeping that central of Jesus Christ dying for us and rising again for our salvation. The church doesn't need to be in trouble as long as we keep things focused. What is the mission of the church? What is the purpose of the church? It is to proclaim Jesus Christ dying for our sins and rising again for our salvation. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.